Shall we pray as we turn to God's word? Father God, we thank you for your words. And Lord, we thank you for this word that we've just heard read, and particularly the events that have been described and the way that Jesus met with people and their needs. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds by your Spirit here this morning, that we may understand how Jesus may meet our individual needs too. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. For me, the best part of this time of year, when the evenings get darker, definitely has to be fireworks night. I can remember as a kid being in awe of fireworks as they shot up into the air each year. Even if that was just fireworks from the smallest little selection box in our back garden, or going to a really big, large, organised display. And to some extent, as I get older, that sense of awe when I see fireworks is still very much there. The inner child in me very much is still there. I thought you'd laugh at that, but maybe not. And tonight, at Glow, I will be oohing and aahing at the fireworks display, just in the same way as I did as a kid. Now, this morning, we're looking at Jesus the healer. And throughout the New Testament, we see some incredible examples, don't we, of Jesus' healing. The blind man whose sight he restores by spitting on his eyes. The healing of Jairus' daughter, or restoring a man's ear that's been cut off. And then the incredible raising of the widow's son from the dead. Now, if you've been a Christian for a long time, or if you've been around church for a while, a lot of these accounts of Jesus' healing will be familiar to you. And I think it's true to say that the more we reread these stories of Jesus' healings in the Bible, and the more familiar that we become with them, the impact that these miraculous events have on us perhaps diminishes over time. Unlike those fireworks that keep my sense of awe and excitement, perhaps like me, we allow these works of Jesus to become too familiar, perhaps a little bit too accepted. Oh, just another one of Jesus' healings. And our passage this morning is perhaps a great example of how this can happen. On the face of it, it's not that exciting, is it? Peter's mother-in-law is healed of a fever, and then a bunch of people that we don't know are healed from ailments that we're not given any information or details of. And I wonder if you were excited and awestruck as you heard these words read. Maybe you were thinking, surely there's a far better example to illustrate the power of God's healing through Jesus. Sometimes we need to stop and really take a look at Jesus' actions to see the true, amazing, life-changing reality of what is happening and how that may impact our lives here and now. And I want to try and do that this morning together by highlighting two things about what Jesus is like, and then one thing that Jesus does. And the first thing that we see about Jesus is his authority. He has the authority to heal, but the way in which he does so seems so easy, doesn't it? It's almost casual. He touches the hand of Peter's mother-in-law, and she is healed. He speaks a word to those who are possessed by demons, and the demons immediately leave. There's no dramatic build-up or fuss. He just does it, and it happens. And what makes this perhaps more notable is that it's been quite a long day for Jesus up until this point. We know from reading the other Gospels that this was the Sabbath day. So Jesus had been at the synagogue, he'd been teaching, and even there he drove out a demon from a man who confronted him. And then on his way back, a Roman centurion asks him for his help, to help his paralyzed servant, who Jesus does heal. So then here in verse 14, as he returns to Peter's home, perhaps thinking he was going to get a rest, he's confronted by this situation where Peter's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. Now, if we have a fever, we usually spend a day or two in bed until the fever has passed, and then perhaps we might spend the next couple of days in front of the TV in our PJs until we feel better to carry on with life. But in those days, a fever had the potential to be life-threatening. In fact, what she was suffering from was most likely to be malaria. And with no modern medication, her condition was probably quite serious. And Jesus would have sensed the seriousness of the situation from Peter and those around her. And he goes straight to her and he touches her hand, and instantly she is well. It's not just that the fever breaks and over a couple of days she gradually gets better. No, she is instantly restored to full health, so much so that she is able to immediately get up and wait upon her guests. Can you imagine feeling well enough to cook a whole Sunday lunch for a load of people when you've just been in bed for the last few days with a really bad fever? That is the strength of the healing power of Jesus. And we see this demonstrated too in verse 16. It's now evening on the same day, the same Sabbath. News of what's just happened to Peter's mother-in-law will have spread like wildfire through the town. And because the sun had set on that Sabbath day, people could bring those with illnesses and spiritual needs to Jesus without breaking any of the laws. And by a single word, he drives out the evil spirits and heals all those who were sick. As I've said, we don't know the details, but in fact, that's the point. That's the point that Matthew's trying to make. It doesn't matter what these people were suffering from. There was nothing that Jesus couldn't heal. So in these short two verses, we see that Jesus has power not only over the physical, but also over the spiritual. Jesus' authority is unlimited. He drives out evil spirits with just one word. He doesn't heal some people, he heals all who are sick. And it not only shows us what Jesus is like, that he is powerful, but more importantly, it shows us who he is. Because only God has that kind of power and authority. And Jesus is the word that spoke creation into existence. So it's only reasonable to see that he can speak evil spirits into submission and human flesh back into full health. Jesus has the authority to heal. And this has such an impact on us today as well. But perhaps we've become numb to the reality. Or perhaps we may question its reality because of our own experience, or maybe because a lack of our experience. And that's the moment when we must take time to marvel at the breadth and depth of Jesus' power and authority. Jesus desires that we believe, even today, that bringing him our struggles and pains can generate healing and hope. His healing may not always look the way that we want it, and I'm going to touch on this in a moment, but his power and authority to heal is the same today as it was then. So we see Jesus has authority to heal, but we also see that he has compassion to heal. He doesn't use his power and authority to oppress or dictate. Rather, he uses his power and authority for the good of others. And we see that here in the contrast between the healing of many with all sorts of diseases and issues, and then the healing of a woman with a fever. Jesus has the compassion for the crowds who were so lost and desperately in need of help. But Jesus never lost sight of the individual. And Jesus' healing of Peter's mother-in-law reminds us that he cares for both the individual and for the many. The touch of her hand is significant. He had the power to heal her without touch at all, and yet he reaches for her hand. Now, not everyone is a very touchy-feely type person, but I think we can all agree that when we're feeling low, or if we're feeling unwell, there is nothing more reassuring than the touch of somebody that we love, the touch of somebody who cares for us. No one else would have touched her. No priest would have touched her, because her fever, they believe, would have made them unclean. But Jesus takes her by the hand. There in that house, for Peter's mother-in-law and all the people that followed, Jesus shows and demonstrates his compassion for them. There was no crowd stood by watching on. There was no publicity. And yet in these humble surroundings, Jesus demonstrates his love and his care for others. In any situation, his love and power are available to anyone who needs him. So we've seen that Jesus demonstrates his authority and compassion through healing. And now we see what he does. We see that his healing is the fulfillment of God's word. Look at verse 17 with me. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Matthew is keen for us to see where healing sits in God's big picture. And he quotes from Isaiah 53, the famous suffering servant prophecy. But what does the Bible mean when it says that Jesus carries our diseases? Well, firstly, I believe that it means that healing is a sign of God's kingdom. The Old Testament prophecies look forward to the coming Messiah who would bring the kingdom of God, and one of the signs of the kingdom would be miraculous healing. Matthew confirms this himself when he summed up his ministry, Jesus' ministry, in chapter 4, verse 23. He said, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus is king. So when Jesus came, the kingdom came with him. Healing is a sign of his kingdom. Secondly, Jesus' healing ministry is prophesied here by Isaiah. And Matthew quotes a portion of it here in verse 17, but I want to read a slightly larger part of Isaiah 53 to you. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Matthew wants to make it clear to us that Jesus is the suffering servant who is prophesied in those words from Isaiah 53. Jesus came specifically to take away our sin, but he also takes away those things which accompany sin: sickness, sadness, spiritual battles, suffering, and death are all a consequence of living in a fallen and sinful world. Isaiah 53 makes it clear that Jesus' healing ministry looks very much towards the cross. The healing miracles are a sign of the kingdom. The reason Jesus healed was because he was going to the cross to take away our sin and eventually remove all consequences of sin. But importantly, at the cross, Jesus takes on our sin. And there is a difference between sickness and sin and healing and forgiveness. Jesus does not bear our sickness or carry our disease the same way and in the same manner as he bears our sin. He bore our sins on the cross so that we may be forgiven. Jesus bearing our sins on the cross doesn't mean that Christians will never get sick or never suffer, and I'm sure each of us knows that very well. Forgiveness is guaranteed now. Healing is guaranteed later. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." When you put your trust in Jesus as Savior, all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Forgiveness is guaranteed now for those who trust in Christ. This is the incredible, powerful truth of Christ that each one of us can claim for ourselves today. But the Bible doesn't say that healing is always guaranteed now. The Bible tells us that our bodies are subject to suffering in this life, which is why we are told to wait patiently from that moment when Jesus will return. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Remember, Jesus' healing miracles are a sign of his kingdom. The kingdom of God came when Jesus came, but will come again in fullness when he returns. Jesus' healings in the New Testament and what we still experience today are glimpses of that coming kingdom of God that John tells us about there in Revelation, the future hope that every believer in Christ has. We will all be healed when Christ returns, that moment when all sin and sickness will finally be taken away. Forgiveness is guaranteed now. Healing is guaranteed later. So are we saying that Jesus doesn't heal here and now? No, absolutely not, I am saying that. Remember his power and his authority and his compassion? Jesus doesn't have any less power in heaven than he did on earth. Jesus heals today in response to prayer offered in his name and in faith. His same power and authority over the spiritual and physical are at work today. It's just that we apply our sinful attitude towards it. I want to be healed right now. I want the person that I love to be healed right now. Who doesn't cry out for these things? But we want the results to be our way and not God's way. Jesus does indeed take up our infirmities and bears our diseases. And for some, this will be miraculous healing. And for others, it may be being given the strength to endure and fight a particular illness. Or a moment where Jesus carries us through a time of suffering, bearing the load so that we are not crushed underneath it, or being there in our loneliness, or healing emotional wounds and or releasing us from anxiety that presses us down, providing us hope when all seems hopeless. These are the moments when we should be in awe of God, encouraged by his very presence with us, excited by the blessings he brings us in this life. What we see here in these few verses is that Jesus cares about us as a whole person, He came not only to take away our sins, but also the sorrows that affect us because of the sinful world that we live in. Many times he will heal us in this life, but sometimes we may need to wait for the life that he promises to come. But one day we will be completely set free from sickness, sadness, suffering, and death. So how do we respond? We cast our cares onto Jesus because Jesus cares for you. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is king. And he is for you, not against you. Trust him until he comes or until he calls. Amen.